Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. It took an entrepreneurial effort to get where we are today. And it will take a team effort to get where we're going. I'm Mark Haney, and this is the Haney Biz Project. We are entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs looking to unleash the hometown potential right here in Sacramento. One entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time. And that conversation, we all know, it starts with one simple question. Are you hanging
or are you banging?
Because if you are banging, that means you are at your very best, at your very best opportunity. But if you're hanging, like I was last week, or actually for the last couple weeks, I've been back and forth to Cabo, and I have been recharging. I have been hanging. It's been good for the soul. So I am here, fired up for you, and I brought along a couple friends, Mr. Marcus Haney. How you doing, Marcus?
I'm great. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. And Caroline Gaines. How are you doing, Caroline?
Amazing.
Welcome to the show. Today we are going to be talking about mentorship because the right mentor can make all the difference. I mean, Caroline, talk to me. Have you ever had a mentor before?
Yeah, I think I'm looking at it.
Stop. Now, Marcus, why are mentors so important to us?
Well, it's interesting because most people, I think, look for a long time to find out what a mentor or mentee looks like, right? So I think having somebody that you can look at, have some simple answers, simple questions, and really storytell a little bit of someone who's been there, done it before, I think that's really important.
Yeah, somebody you can look up to, maybe as a role model, maybe
right.
Sometimes it's a sounding board, maybe it's just, someone that is in your world. You have somebody now, Caroline, you said me, I'm kind of, we talk about me being Coach Haney, I am the business coach, I've got a little bit of a background in coaching football and baseball and other sports. But I mean, mentor you, I mean, you had an event happen last weekend where you merged with a partner, right? Is there a mentor in that relationship? Tell us what happened.
Absolutely. So Mark, I got married last
weekend. Wow. Congratulations, Caroline. Welcome. So who's the mentor? Is it you or Matt?
I would say both of us on different things. He is a very strong, respectable man, very good leader, and I respect him and look up to him in a lot of ways, but I think he does the same for me.
We all know who's in charge.
Who should we be looking, so we look up to our spouse, obviously, but who else should we be looking up to in society in terms of mentorship and as role models these days?
Well, I think it's about the example as a leader, setting the example, and somebody that you can look up to, someone that is making the good decisions when nobody else is looking around, and the person that's putting in the work, staying the extra hours, is really the leader.
Yeah, you never know. And I think, my wife and I, I've been married a few years now. And in our relationship, she's kind of the mentor. And, we had some mentors when we got married. I don't know if I ever told you this story, Caroline, Marcus, you may know it, but we had to go to marriage counseling. It was, the Catholic Church puts you through these marriage counseling sessions before you get married. And they put us with some mentors. And these mentors, the Sicilies were their name, Russ and Marilyn, they gave us some advice because, as a new couple or even as somebody who's been married a long time, you end up with spats, right? You end up fighting. And they told us if you get into one of those knockdown, drag-out type fights, the best way to deal with that is to fight naked. And yeah, it's kind of we learned that from the church and these mentors, and it was kind of weird because it's like now every time, my wife and I, we get in a fight or whatever, she holds up these little panties.
Come on now.
And, it's weird, but, and then she says, Mark, young man, now give me those boxers. And it's 32 years later, she always gets the last laugh at every fight. It's a tough situation, but you know what? That's how it goes. Today, we are going to be talking mentorship. Coming up after the break, we are going to meet a CEO who has helped transform one of Sacramento's most important resources into a mentoring powerhouse focused on helping an invisible portion of our homeless population. Get ready to meet the visionary leader of the St. John's Program for Women and Children, Michelle Steeb, and she's bringing along a special friend to talk about her story as well. During the revolution, HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark
Welcome
Haney.
Back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by Michelle Steeb, the CEO of St. John's Program for Women and Children, and she brought along a special guest, Miss Shanti. How you doing, Shanti?
Good. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having us both.
You bet. Thank you for coming down and sharing your story. Can you give me and our guests an overview of St. John's?
Sure. So St. John's was actually started about 33 years ago on the steps of St. John's Lutheran Church. And for up until about the last 10 years, we were an emergency shelter. So we took women and children in who originally were sleeping on the church steps overnight, and we gave them a roof and we gave them a meal. But at 8 o'clock in the morning, they had to leave, and they were wandering the streets during the day until 5 when they could come back in. And then about 10 years ago, I came in and had a woman named Katie and her daughter Tori come in, and a couple days later, a woman named Shelley and her two boys. And I was really shocked to learn that Katie and Shelley were sisters. But the bigger surprise was to learn that 18 years earlier, when we were this emergency shelter model over on the steps of the church, that they were there with their mom.
Oh, wow. So they came back as adults in the same situation that their mother had been in a number of years earlier.
Exactly.
Wow, the cycle continued.
Exactly. They were just repeating what they knew.
Wow.
And then just decided, you know, we can't just, you know, serving them overnight is important, but if we really want to help them, we need to help them change their lives. So we built now a 12 to 18 month program that provides mental health counseling, drug and alcohol counseling, parenting, budget classes, work training. We operate 2 restaurants and a daycare program.
Wow.
And we give them all the tools they need in 12 to 18 months to be self-sustaining and to permanently exit the cycle of homelessness and poverty.
Well, I'm imagining that being a very difficult decision. As a CEO, I have a number of companies, but as a CEO of this entity, you've got to make the decision to pivot, right? You've changed the way that you do business today.
Yes.
Talk us through making that change.
Well, for me, it was just so clear. And we were clearly not making a difference by having, you know, the children of the mothers that we once served return. So in my mind, there wasn't a decision to make. I mean, there was only one decision, and that was to pivot, right?
So you pivoted, and you're no longer taking in women and having them spend the night. Mm-hmm. You're now focused on giving them the life skills needed so that they can make a permanent change.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, you brought along a guest, and we might as well bring her in now. Shanti, welcome to the show. And can you give us an idea of your background and maybe touch on your story for us?
Well, I come from a household of 6 children. Both my parents worked for the prison, so they were guards for the prison.
Okay.
Lived in a nice home, nice cars, all of that, but a lot of dysfunction. So growing up was kind of hard because I'm multiracial, of course. So being an adult, got addicted to pain pills, but I'm a nurse though. So,
wow.
You know, being a nurse, addicted to pain pills is not the way to go. Mm-hmm. I have 4 boys of my own. So
how old are your boys?
17, 13, 12, and 10.
Okay.
So, yeah, 4 boys. Yes.
That sounds like a handful in and of itself.
Yes. Yes. But I love it. I you know, they make me, you know, a better person. They make me, you know, they have brought me to St. John's because mm-hmm. ultimately, you know, the decision to change my life is because of my children.
And if you wouldn't mind sharing so you've had this success, your parents are successful, you become a nurse, you get addicted to painkillers, and then what happened?
everything just started falling apart. My body was getting addicted to them, where I had to take more and more. So I was buying them off the street on top of having my prescription from my doctor. So this wonderful income that I have had is no income at all, because I can't pay for, you know, my rent for where I stay at in my home, my car, you know, car payment, nothing.
Did you lose your job as a nurse?
Yeah, I had to let go of my job. Yes.
Yeah.
My passion is to help other people, and that's what I was doing. And how was I going to help anybody being addicted to these pills? My mind is cloudy. I'm not making the right decisions. And my mind is focused on how to get this next batch of pills, you know, so I'm not helping my patients, not helping my children and myself. So it wasn't any good to my job or my children. So,
and then what did rock bottom look like? As I'm assuming it was near that time when you found St. John's.
I was in a motel on Watt Avenue, and I was writing a letter to my children and to my kid's father, and not realizing at the time, I was thinking about ending my life and didn't really even know it. You know, like, being a mother of four children, you don't think about being selfish, and I was being selfish. So my kid's father is a wonderful man. He came and took my children. I finally came to being honest with him. I'm addicted to pain pills. He knew there was something going on, but, you know, I was in denial, didn't want to admit it. So I was at that point in time, I was ready to admit it. So I sent myself to Strategies for Change, and they recommended me to St. John's.
And were you there, Michelle, when Shanti came in? Were you?
Yes, we purposefully, all of our staff is, you know, we're working and there with the clients when they come in. So I didn't see Shanti when she first came in the door, but I teach one of the first classes that our clients take when they come in, which is positive thinking. And it's a really important class, because so many of our women come in crisis mode, and they coupled with that is often a lot of negative thinking and just not even really processing. So Shanti was, I remember her distinctly from the earlier classes, and, you know, to see her now, I mean, she looks you in the eye, she's, you know,
oh, she's extremely here. Professional. I mean, if this is radio, but if you watch this on Facebook Live, you would see this is an attractive professional woman that clearly you would say this lady has her act together. I mean, that's my take. Now, you've been through some struggle. How did St. John's turn that struggle?
Like she was saying, the classes. So the first 30 days, you know, it's, you know, the uplifting classes, positive thinking, my favorite class. You know, one goes hand in hand, money matters. We have navigating barriers, teaching you how to overcome, you know, credit challenges, you know, domestic violence, which I've had a part of, you know, different areas to, you know, keep us uplifted in how we can move on the next day. You know, yeah. A lot of us come from where we don't know how to budget. They teach you how to budget. You know, who to think we have to budget as an adult, right? Yeah. So, you know, it just uplifting you. You're able to, their doors are always open. You know, anybody in the administrative office, the AOD counselor, everybody is willing to be there. And they're open to be there for you. Just a listening ear. And that's what a lot of us just need. Just
sometimes we just need a sounding board.
Yes.
Huh? And a little bit of hope. We're going to share more of this story when we come back. I want to thank you, Michelle, for coming in and introducing us to St. John's program for women and children. Shanti, thank you for opening up like you had. We're going to ask you to do a little bit more sharing of what happened to you and how things are turning for you with the help of St. John's. When we come back, this is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, Igniting the Entrepreneurial Revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm rejoined by Michelle Steeb, the CEO of St. John's Program for Women and Children, and she's brought along with her Shanti, and we've been talking about St. John's and the huge impact that you make here in our region, and Shanti's been kind enough to share her story. Shanti, how common is a story like yours?
You know, until I got to St. John's, I was really oblivious to really that this is common. You know, I've ran into a lot of women and to see what they've overcame, you know, doing drugs with their mother as they were children growing up. Who would have thought that that is reality, you know, what's going on? And it's too common, you know, and without people like Michelle Steeb and St. John's, I don't think that, you know, it would be. It's getting worse.
Well, when I drive into Sacramento, sometimes I'll see homeless people on the side of the road, but they don't look like you. And so Michelle and I were talking earlier, and I think, Michelle, you indicated that this is kind of like an invisible segment of our homeless population.
Yeah. So actually, we in the region are required by HUD, Housing and Urban Development out of D.C., to do a count. And our count just showed that we have a 30% increase in homelessness over 2 years ago. Wow. What people don't realize, we don't normally see, sometimes, but not much, women and children on the streets. And the reason for that is because of the children, a lot of people will give them a couch or give them a room mm-hmm. in their home until they can get somewhere. So we often call women with children the invisible segment. But just to give you a sense, we're now able, this year we have experienced a lot of growth. We're now able to serve up to 270 women and children every day. That translates to about 1,000 a year. But our waiting list every night is 288 women and children long, every single night.
Wow. And so the waiting list at the end of the night, what does that look like in terms of what happens to those people who are waiting?
Well, it's very sad, and I don't like to think about it very much, but the reality is that the inn is full. We require people to call in on a daily basis because that gives us an indication of their motivation to want to make the change. St. John's is a very tough program. It is not a place where you're allowed to sit and watch TV. There's no TV during the day. There's no going in your room. It is a tough program, but we require them to call in every day. After they've been calling in for a certain period of time, if there's availability, we bring them in for an interview. Again, St. John's isn't for everyone, and we don't apologize for that. We really need to assess whether you have desire and the capability to make these changes in your life.
I keep thinking of the movie The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith and how he and his son were stuck sleeping on the bathroom floor. Is that the kind of thing that happens in Sacramento?
Yes. I mean, people live with their children. A long time ago, I remember when I was first starting out my addiction, I lost my apartment and I was actually staying in someone who was doing meth downstairs and we were upstairs and we can smell, you know.
Wow.
So it happens. I mean, bathroom and basically a crack house. I mean, it happens.
This is the hidden population because I go through my daily life trying to build businesses. Obviously, Michelle, you've built this. You've pivoted. You've turned it around. You're helping so many people. But there's so many more to be helped.
Yes. And we are, you know, we just experienced another, you know, significant amount of growth. We're now, like I said, able to serve 90 more women and children. So that's up to 270 a day. But there's more to do. And we are aware of that. We also need to make sure, because one of the things with St. John's, we've moved away from public funding. Not completely, but largely, because the public dollars say that you can't require accountability of people. You can't require them to be sober. You can't require them to do anything to improve their life. And we don't believe in that approach. So we've moved largely away from public dollars. we raise somewhere around $5 million a year, and we get about $2 million of public dollars. But we need to make sure that as we grow, we can continue to raise the money required to fuel that growth and to maintain it.
Well, you've made some decisions that seem like they would come from somebody in the private sector, right? You're running these businesses within St. John's and restaurants, right, where people can go get your clients. Your clients are able to get real-world hands-on training while building these businesses that rest inside the organization.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes, we, and it really came from the mission. We really wanted to help these women and children, women, become self-sustaining. And we started an on-the-job training program back in 2008, 2009 to give them, you know, skills, you know, on site. And what we realized is we really needed to do something bigger and over a longer period of time.
So what is the success story? Because obviously Shantae is a success, but she is a work in progress. You're 9 months in to the program that could last up to 18 months, depending on your progress. But what does a success story look like, Michelle?
Oh, there's so many, but one that just popped into my mind that I'll share is Amy McMahon. And Shanti and I were talking a little bit about her on the way here. Amy came into our program addicted to drugs. She had just lost her husband. She had three children. She actually called CPS, Child Protective Services, and said, please take my children from me. I can't parent them properly. Man. She got into St. John. She reunified with her children. She always loved to cook. And so she went into our Plates program. Our restaurant is called Plates. And she worked her way through that program. We placed her in a job. We ended up hiring her back as our sous chef. She ended up going to culinary school, and she now works at Hawks.
Wow.
And she is a very, she's
a
one of the
restaurant.
Absolutely.
Out here,
she's
Granite
one
Bay.
Of the very significant people on their pastry team.
Wow.
So she's just, you know, she comes to mind, but she is one of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that we see every year. And it's, this is the, I always say my hashtag is best job in the world. I really believe I have the
changing
best job
lives through mentoring. And I'm thinking, Shanti, you know, with where you're at, you talked about your four boys, and I gathered that that's your why. That's deep down inside that makes you want to continue to march on your path. What do you see at the end of this journey for you?
You know, I want to go back to school for drug and alcohol, because I remember when I was beginning my journey, I remember a 19-year-old child in the rehab needing help and was on heroin for 5 years. So, you know, there's really no help for children, you know, mm-hmm. being addicted, you know, and I want to go back to school, but, you know, I want to get back in the swing of things of work. And I have my job in IFPI management that St. John's is partnered with for jobs. So
is that property management?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes. I really love what they stand for, you know, so, and they are also helping other people. So
you love helping people. It's amazing how when we get touched by a mentor or a coach or somebody that helps us along the way, that it makes us want to, I guess, help the next person in line. Just thinking, you know, we only have a minute or so left, Michelle. What are the mentors like at St. John's? Obviously, they're effective, but what makes them so effective?
Well, you know, we have staff mentors. We have volunteer mentors. We have over 300 volunteers a month who come through our door, and they are so crucial to our success. And, you know, one of the things that's so great about St. John's is you're able to really, you know, touch and see the women and children that we're helping. At the restaurant, at Plates, at First Steps, our child development center, at St. John's where they live, as a volunteer, as a donor, as a staff member, you are right there with them, and you're able to watch their journey and be a part of it, and every single volunteer, staff, donor are a part of it. It's a really cool ecosystem, and it works with all of us together, right?
Shantae, if you could sum up your experience at St. John and say one word, what would that be?
Amazing. Yeah, it's been amazing that I've had this opportunity, that I had the will to change. Because going to St. John's, you have to have the will to change. So
truly amazing. We want to thank you, Shantae, for sharing your story on the
thank
show.
You.
Michelle, for what you've done, bringing a business mindset, an entrepreneurial mindset to something that could be ran more like a government agency, and you've turned it around. Thank you for what you do for the women and children of Sacramento, what that does for our overall community. That's what this show is all about. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about mentorship and discuss how it relates in entrepreneurship. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of private equity firm DCA Capital. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties. I am Mark Haney, and I'm rejoined by Marcus Haney and Caroline Gaines, and we've been talking about mentoring and coaching, and we've heard some real life mentoring and coaching stories. Caroline, Marcus, I'll start with you, Caroline. What were your takeaways from today's discussion?
I just thought it was so amazing how Michelle saw a need, and her response was there was only one answer. She had to do it. Yeah. And I think that when we are called and we go after it, it's beautiful things happen. And mm-hmm. I think about what you've done with Haney Business Ventures and going after your dream and making that possible. We can all get behind
yeah.
you.
Yeah, we're it's entrepreneurs exciting. Helping entrepreneurs. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But Marcus, you had to have been touched as you listened to Shante's story. What went through your head?
Well, first off, it took my breath away a little bit hearing about her story, her four boys, and what she's done to really fight back to be where she is today, and has a great job that she's enjoying and really kicking butt towards. So that was my first off. I think it was the first tissues we've ever had to bring out on the show, too. Yeah. So thanks for sharing that with us. But I like the fact that they are treating that organization like a real-world business and really, you know, gaining revenue through internal processes.
Right,
and
driving business right, through a charitable organization, right. But they're turning it into a business. And the people, the clients, they get practice, you know, their recovery process is working in a business.
Absolutely. And that's so neat and so transformative, right? I mean, a lot of times in our society, we put a blanket over that sort of aspect and kind of let it fester as it will. But, you know, really taking a hold of, you know, an opportunity to go change it one person at a time is really, really cool.
It really made me think about the mentorship side of things. So they have hundreds of mentors helping thousands of people. And how one mentor can make such a difference, give somebody the hope. I guess I have this fascination within entrepreneurship about mentoring and helping one entrepreneur at a time is, you know, as entrepreneurs who have had a little bit of success, look at that next guy in line. Look at that person who maybe wants to start a business and doesn't know quite yet where to start, or maybe somebody who is further along in their idea, they've started to run a business, maybe it's sputtered a little bit, or maybe it's a business that's really a little bit bigger, and it's, but you know what, it hasn't quite unleashed its full potential. And through mentorship, these small business people, these entrepreneurs can be helped by their peers, right? Peers that have been in those same shoes.
I think a lot of our guests are out there saying, Mark, where do we turn, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have at Haney Biz, we have something we call Haney Biz Going Hands-On. And so I'm devoting my life to helping the entrepreneurs of Sacramento to unleash their potential. 9 out of 10 small businesses fail in that first 5 years. You know what? Not in my hometown. Failure is not an option. I think if the business community, the business leaders of Sacramento come together, we can reverse that. We may not be able to completely eliminate failure, but you know what? We can give people a lot better chance of succeeding, just like what Michelle and St. John's is doing with people who have, you know, that are have been dealt a bad set of cards. But you know what? It doesn't matter where you're at. So if you come into Haney Biz and you've got a problem, it doesn't matter where you're at in the cycle. You could be very successful, or you could be at the very beginning stages. Come on in And it will start by asking you three simple questions, right? First of all, it's, are you hanging or banging this? I know that sounds kind of funny, but I mean, if you're at your very best, at your very best opportunity, then you're mentoring people, right? If you're able to sustain that level of commitment to your success and work through it and build something, you know what? Those are the mentors of Sacramento, and we bring in those people to help people get through their challenges. So it's entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, and so often when we talk with entrepreneurs, you know, they feel like they're on the hamster wheel. They don't feel like they're at their very best. They're kind of working really hard but not going anywhere, or they might even be struggling, and fear may be setting in, and hope may be getting, be at that stage where it's beginning to, you know, take hold of you and kind of making it so it's no fun anymore. So the first questions we start asking people is, what do you like about what you do? Because we all are good at something. We're all gifted at something. And so often we get ourselves stuck in a job where, you know what, I'm doing everything. I'm wearing every hat. When really, maybe I'm the product person or the person who knows about the service that I'm providing. But I'm not as good at sales and marketing, and I'm not as good at accounting and finance. So we try to bring people in and put you together with partners, right? Put you, it might be a new business partner, it might be some help, maybe a strategic alliance. But you know what? The first thing you need to do if you're gonna be banging is you gotta be working on what you love, what you're good at. We're all good at something, and so often we forget that, and we forget that we have something great inside of us, and it's not there. So when I meet an entrepreneur, it's, you know, it doesn't come out. When I meet an entrepreneur, I start asking these questions, and when our team asks these questions, we can find out pretty quickly what that person's good at. Sometimes it's a little bit hidden, but we go and we find out, and I think that's where we start. And the second thing I see in terms of challenges for entrepreneurs is they don't make the right commitments, right? We all, commitment is the most important component of any relationship, of winning. If you can't commit, chances are the relationship is not going to be very strong. The business is not going to be very strong. You're not going to succeed if you can't make a commitment. But a lot of people can make commitments, but they're committed to the wrong stuff, right? Allocation of resources. How we allocate our time, our cash flow, our whatever our resources are in our business, that's the most important decision we as entrepreneurs have. So if I take a look at your balance sheet and your income statement, I can look pretty quick and see how you're allocating those resources. And what I see all too often, I think it happens with virtually every company at some point, they get themselves committed to too many things. Mm-hmm. And they're not doing well enough at any of those things because they've spread themselves thin. So I think we take a look at what is the most important part of your business for achieving your goal, right? And a lot of times people want to make some money to start with because you need to make some money to survive. Well, let's figure out what's profitable in your business. And why don't we put most of the resources in that aspect, in that section of your business? And, you know, when we do that, we can see a business really begin to turn around and becomes that much easier. But the third thing that we ask people is why? You know, as we talked today with Shante, she talked about her four boys. And I think if those four boys are living with her right now, and so often we forget why we started the business in the first place. We forget why we checked into St. John's in the first place, right? And if you can keep that mission, that purpose front of mind, you know what? It's so much easier. That why stays with us. So, you know, I've gone on and on about what we do here at Haney Biz, but you know what? That's what this show is about. Through real world stories, Marcus, you talked about this at the beginning. Through real world stories, we see ourselves sometimes. I mean, I think we all see ourselves in somebody who's had some hard times. As Shante talked about her tough times, we can all kind of relate to, you know, life not being easy. Maybe not to the extreme that she has, but we all can relate to our own set of hard times. And I think it's through those stories and about stories of perseverance, stories of overcoming, it gives us the hope to kind of carry on.
No doubt.
So I want to pivot over to talk about some of the people that are helping us to do this, Caroline, helping us to take our efforts to the airwaves, take our efforts to Sacramento. There's people that have locked arms with us, business people in this community that have locked arms with us that are saying, hey, you know what? Maybe 5 or 10 of us, we'll start this. And you know what? If anybody else wants to come on board, come on board. But let's talk about some of the people who have locked arms with Haney Biz.
Absolutely. This all would not be possible without Greenberg Truerig Law.
Yeah, Michelle Halston. Yeah, no question.
Silvers HR.
Kim Silvers.
Ethan Conrad Properties. DCA Capital. Entrepreneurs Organization.
Yes.
And Audi Rockland.
Audi Rockland. Yeah, these people are supporting the small business community. And you know what? As busy as I get, I want to meet every entrepreneur that has that ambition, that is saying, you know what? I'm ready to make a change. I'm ready to turn it around. I want to know you. Some people don't want to know more Mark Haney, but if you want more Mark Haney, Caroline, how should they get in touch with me? How should they get in touch with Haney Biz?
The best way is just come over and visit us at on Granite Drive, right across conveniently from Audi Rockland.
Yeah, yeah, come on over to Rockland. I mean, we're down in Sacramento a lot, but you know what? We're right here in Rockland, so we're right down the road. We're the entrepreneur next door.
And we happen to have the coolest office ever, so that helps with the
come
greatest people.
Come check us out. Yes, we do have a great team.
We're also on HaneyBiz.com on our website, and we're on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter.
And
so
LinkedIn.
We're out there.
We are out there. We want to know you. We want to know what's going on with your business. We want to know what you want to do with your business so that we can turn it around.
We want to help you.
Yeah, we do. And when we come back, we'll have some more closing thoughts, talk about the ripple effect that happens when we help one another, the ripple effect when a mentor or a coach jumps into our life, when they look at, they peel the onion back and see the remarkable things that we have inside of us, what that does in the long run for not only our lives, but the lives of our family and the lives of our friends and maybe even the next generation. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you by Sun System Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and in life, as in entrepreneurship, there is no single script. I think we heard that today. There's no static textbook or game plan, no guaranteed wins. Every script is different. Today, we've been talking about mentorship, coaching, helping our brothers and sisters reach uncommon altitudes of achievement, and lifting others in finding strength when life has dealt us some bad cards. You know, we've had some great coaches in our lives. Marcus, Caroline, you guys have been in sports. You've had coaches, you've had mentors. And sometimes it's those people that look beyond what's on the surface, right? And they dig a little deeper. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, a coach of mine, Eric Vorbeck, growing up, I always remember that he coached me in baseball for a long time, big mentor of mine, and he was always talking about what's off the baseball field and, you know, how to move to the next level and really how the game of baseball and taking a knee in front of your coach and looking him in the eye really relates to life, you know?
Yeah, so that's, things that happen on the athletic field,
reverberate very much, absolutely.
Affects, you know, what you learn in those moments affects who you are.
Absolutely.
You can't help it. How about you, Caroline? Mentors change your life?
Yeah, definitely. And coaches in soccer. I had one in particular, Dave Dukovich, since I was 5 years old. He coached me for about 10 years, and he was always talking about getting your head in the game and getting pumped and motivated and also just having a good character out there.
Yeah, yeah. Play with character. Yeah, coaches can sometimes motivate.
No doubt.
But sometimes they make you look at yourself, look at who you are, and sometimes they have to look beyond what maybe the rest of the people see. The rest of the people may see somebody who's different, maybe even weird, but maybe within that differentness, that weirdness, maybe that's where the greatness happens. And I'm going to share a quick story that kind of gives an example of that, and it gives an example of what I'll call the ripple effect. And I, you know, people have called me Coach Haney. You guys have said that. I've done a lot of coaching. Absolutely. And I guess I'm coaching today. And, you know, where did that come from? And I did learn from the practice fields like you did, Marcus. I did learn from playing football and baseball. I did learn that. But, you know, what I think my journey got started earlier. I think mentoring and being a coach was somehow instilled in me, maybe without me even realizing much early. Take back before I was born, Bentonville, Arkansas, 1930-something, Depression era, ragtag group of men standing on a street corner, right? Laughing, joking, feeling sorry for the little girl down the street. Emma was a little girl down the street, 13 years old, and her dad had turned her into a prostitute. 13. And the boys on the corner were feeling sorry. These are kind of the ragtag, troublemaking boys of the town. They were feeling sorry for Emma because she was pregnant. Emma had gotten pregnant at 13. And they were discussing who was going to go marry Emma. Who was going to do the right thing and jump up and help the little prostitute girl down the street. And they drew straws, and Doc drew the short straw. Doc ended up marrying Emma. Floyd was born. A bastard child, and he had a rough life. He was beaten so badly that he became deaf, but most people thought he was mentally retarded. But he wasn't. He was a sharp guy, but he was deaf. A couple children later, Hank comes along. The next bastard child is born. Hank, beaten, tough life. As you might imagine, grows up a little bit angry. It's a family that moves from Bentonville, Arkansas, doing migrant farm working, much like the Grapes of Wrath, and they settle in a town that has a railroad, the town of Roseville. And Hank, walking along the railroad tracks, and Hank's been beaten. He's 13, 14, getting ready to go into high school, but he's an angry young man, much kind of the James Dean type of guy. He's been sexually abused, beaten, and now he's in a new town, Roseville. Along pulls up Frank Cervantes in a pickup truck. Hey, Hank, why don't you sign up for football? It's the summer going into high school. Hank didn't want to play. Come on, Hank, get in the back of the truck. They drag Hank out. He ends up showing up and playing football over at Roseville, and he's angry, but there's a coach. His name's Mott. Mott coaches Hank in a way that says, I see something different in you. Hey, good job, Hank. Good job, Hank. Hank was being recognized for the first time in his life for his heart, right? He had never been recognized by anybody before, but Hank didn't smile. And so Mott went off script, right? What do you do when you feel like you're not making an impact on somebody? You go over and you talk to him. You dig a little bit deeper. You pull back that onion. And Mott said to Hank, Hank, you know, I'm patting you on the back, but you never smile. Why not? Because Hank never smiled. Mott realized as he dug a little bit deeper that Hank was embarrassed. Hank's teeth were messed up. Yeah, he didn't want to show that smile because he was embarrassed that his teeth were bad. So what did Mott do? Mott went out, bought Hank a tube of toothpaste and his first toothbrush. Coach went off script. You know what? Hank went on to play 4 years of high school football, have a ton of respect for his coach, for the game of football. Went on to join the military. Ended up opening up a TV shop in downtown Roseville. One of his first customers, guess who? Mott, his high school football coach. Mott continued to stay with Hank throughout his life. And you know what? That coach ended up changing Hank. Ended up reaching a little bit further, helping just a little bit more, going off script in a way that most coaches would not. Hank ended up opening up a TV shop in downtown Roseville, had some kids that loved to play football. And you know what? The couple of us went on to do a little bit of coaching as well. And so if you don't know by now, Mott was a high school football coach in the 50s and 60s. And that young man named Hank was Henry Hank Haney. That was my dad. And that inspired me to go on and do some coaching myself. And I guess that's one of the reasons why I'm here. You know, you look back, why do we do what we do? Sometimes it starts in those impressionable ages sitting around the table talking to your parents, and they light up when you begin talking about football. And you know what? Maybe I ought to play football. Maybe I ought to coach football too. Maybe I ought to join the ranks of the coaches that make an impact, the mentors that make an impact on the next generation. So as we get ready to wind this show up for the day, I'll just say that we need to do a little hometown salute to Michelle Steeb and the other mentors that pick up those next people in line, right? To all the people fighting the good fight for our freedom to be different, to be secure in our way of life, to the 13 stripes and the 50 stars, and to the one big American script that's always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you,
always by your side.